Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of the best in the business, and just a flat-out great guy, too. And that's Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, also BTM. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. So you had to sit down with Commissioner Warren. And I'll give you my observation, then I want to hear what you think about it. I felt in July at Football Media Days, it was kind of a gung-ho move forward, you know, let's see what expansion holds and so forth. And I felt this time at Basketball Media Days, he was more measured. Your opinion on that opinion?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think he wanted to come out of that feeling like, hey, if there's something else out there, and I think a lot of it was attached to, I really believe this, I think a lot of people construed it to be something else, but I believe it, this is just a personal opinion.
Sure.
I believe that 90% or more was oriented toward, hey, Notre Dame, man, now's the time.
Yes, I agree.
You know, the whole thing about Oregon and Washington is that, to an extent, bigger doesn't necessarily make you better. Better makes you better. Notre Dame makes you better. Football, whatever, basketball, whatever, but Notre Dame is Notre Dame. There's no doubting that. And who you'd get to if Notre Dame finally said this independent thing isn't for us anymore, and their attachment to that has always eluded me. And I know a lot of the people there, and I've spoken to a lot of the people, and no one's ever really been able to give me a good reason why they're so attached to it, but they are really attached to it. I think that they were trying to convince Notre Dame that now was the time, but what's happening in the Pacific Northwest doesn't really do anything for them. If by some chance SC and UCLA decided that they were too isolated in the future, then there might be a sort of a catalyst for this to happen. But as of now, everything that I've been able to gather is they kind of like the idea of being able to be the only team on the West Coast in the Big Ten.
Yes.
And that they don't really want anybody else to have a share of that.
Yes, and I've gotten the same impression that they, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're going to put them on an island. And like, have you asked them about it? Because I know in a couple people I've talked to, they kind of like the idea of being the lone wolves.
And I think the other thing that's overlooked, Steve, is that, you know, you might be able to get Ohio State to go along because Ohio State's thinking, man, we're stepping on all these people anyway, man. It doesn't matter how many you put below us.
Yeah.
If it puts a few more dollars in our pocket, fine. But I think that there's a feeling among a lot of the Big Ten membership that, okay, we got big and rich, and there's not that much richer out there. There's bigger, but there's not that much richer. So why would we want to go from being one of 16 to one of 18 or one of 18 or one of 20? There's value in exclusivity.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is the most exclusive club in sports. It really is. The SEC can make a case for it, but the Big Ten's case for exclusivity goes beyond what they do on the football field. It goes to a lot of different directions. And I don't know that, even though there are others out there who would fit your profile, why necessarily go out and expand and make that membership less exclusive?
There's another element too, and you talk about bigger, and that is in terms of brand value. Now look, Washington and Oregon, for example, are really good brands, so this is not any way of putting them down, but I don't think you want to look at this stage after negotiating a TV contract and look at Gene Smith, Pat Kraft, Ward Manuel, or even Rutgers or Maryland saying, you know, in order to get these guys in, you may have to take less money. Because there's only so much out there that people are willing to put in. The networks are not willing to put in more money, unless they get a totally separate deal somewhere. People are going to have to take less if you were to bring in more, potentially.
What I've tried to say since day one, when, you know, and I will not pretend like I saw SC and UCLA coming, but
none of us
from the point that that went over the goal line, I've been saying, look, if there was more money out there for Washington and Oregon, then it would have been in this deal.
Yes.
And they're not in this deal.
That's right.
And I think there is attention in continuing to push the narrative that the Big Ten is going to get bigger or that any conference is going to get bigger. But I've never seen the logic in that. And so I don't see the day in the near future when the Big Ten goes from 16 to beyond that. Again, with the possible exception of Notre Dame waking up one day and saying independent isn't working for us anymore. And I do think that day could be out there.
Yeah,
because it's a slog for them to do this alone that others don't face. And I don't understand their appeal, but what if they get a new group of people in there at some point that says, this is not right, it's not working, it's not smart, why are we doing it?
Right, and that's I agree with that assessment completely. When you talk to Kevin Warren, and of course this is Basketball Media Days, so the tournament has been in Indianapolis, Washington, Madison Square Garden, Chicago this year, then next year it goes to Minneapolis. Looking to the future, Los Angeles or Las Vegas, could they be options for a Big Ten tournament because you have added USC and UCLA?
Yeah, I asked him specifically about that and used those two cities as a possibility. And he very much said yes. Now, he did not specify which. I think that it would be open to that. I think he probably would prefer to go all the way to L.A. To put it in their real backyard.
Yes.
And certainly they have the facility to do it in the Staples Center, and they'd only have to kick, two teams out. You'd only have to kick them out for one weekend, so I think they could pull it off.
Well, I think you have to kick out three.
Who is the third?
The Kings. The Clippers.
Oh, the Kings play there as well. Yeah. I
didn't mean to correct you, but I mean
No, you're right. You're right. I'd forgotten all about them playing there. So yeah, you'd have to kick out three, but I think that could be accommodated for 4 or 5 days or whatever. I think they could pull that off. So I do think that there'll be a time when they do it. I don't know exactly when, but we got to New York, we got to D.C., and so I think it will get out to L.A. subsequent to the Trojans and the Bruins becoming members.
And everybody in the conference wants to make this integration happen as seamlessly as possible, because I don't think you can think about integrating anybody else seamlessly till you do this first. So any thoughts on his part as to how they can make it seamless? Because it's not just football and basketball. It's going to be 15 to 20 sports.
Yeah, some of the sports I don't think are problematic because – you know, like cross country and that sort of thing. I mean, all right, that you could just, you know, you just do an invitational or golf, you know, that's not as big a deal for, I mean, those sports are certainly matter, but the scheduling is not as problematic in track, cross country, golf. Those sorts of sports are not that problematic. And I think some of it could also be in men's and women's swimming. It's, you know, you can do a lot of the same things.
So
I think it brings you to baseball. I think that's where the issue becomes maybe most problematic, soccer, men's and women's. Then you have to really worry about it a little bit. But the one thing I'll say, what you have to ask yourself is, does charter travel open up to those teams for those trips?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will. I think that with the amount of money that they're bringing in now, that's over and above, far over and above what they had been making, I think you can afford to do that in those particular sports for, you know, charter travel for that West Coast trip. And I don't think that we'll see a day, and I sure hope not, where you jet out to UCLA and jet home. No, I mean, you're going all the way out there. You got to play them both.
Well, that's why I've talked on the show about, I think block scheduling is an idea. In other words, you take your women's soccer team, your men's soccer team, you mentioned cross country, you take your volleyball team, boom, one plane, fly them out, one hotel, weekend, you know, two sets of whatever, boom, flying back. Same thing with them coming east. I think if you block scheduling, it could end up not being as expensive as people think it can be.
Yeah, and I don't think the expense is prohibitive now, because, I mean, they really are making a lot more new money than they were. And so charter travel is not cheap, but right. I think it's manageable for the number of trips that they would have to do it. And most of the men's and women's basketball teams are already doing this on a regular basis. So it just means a longer flight than was the case before.
Well put. In being around the media day, what was the impression you got of some of the teams there? What's your thought on the conference and a preseason look at this point?
If you look at this, at what we've seen over the past 2 years, and I know a lot of people want to go back and look at the tournament performances that were not good and say, see, it was never that great to begin with. And the reality is they performed to the level that they did. You can't erase what happened. You can say, hey, they stunk in the tournament both years, and they did.
Yep.
And that's not inaccurate.
That's true. But
you can't rewrite what they did in the regular season. I don't think that that's going to be the case this year. It may be as balanced, but I don't think it will be as excellent. And I'm not sure that's necessarily bad for whichever teams can separate themselves, whether it's Indiana, Illinois, Purdue. I believe in Purdue more than some do.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever teams can separate themselves, if they can do that, it could be good for them. I did a thing on the day that the league really imploded in 2021 in the Indianapolis bubble when both Ohio State and Purdue went down. I started to look into it. If you look back, Steve, over time, the leagues that get the most bids usually struggle in the tournament. And I think it's because they have to work so hard and to become the best version of themselves to get through that every night or every other night grind and then do it again in the conference tournament. Where you just have to become the best version of yourself and you don't build in a lot of flexibility. And then somebody comes out, it's like you learn how to hit the fastball and the slider, and then somebody comes out and starts Tim Wakefielding you with knuckleballs.
Yep.
And it's harder to adjust. And I think that's what we saw in the NCAA tournament. And I use this as an example. When Purdue got to St. Peter's in the NCAA tournament, and they didn't throw a knockout punch early, but in this early to mid-second half, Travion Williams came in and played great for a stretch of about 6 to 8 minutes and put St. Peter's in about a 6 or 8 point hole and just, gassed himself by doing that. And it was at that point that Matt Painter should have said, okay, this whole Zach Edey thing, I love him, and he's going to matter to us again, but he's not playing tonight because he can't play in this game. He's shown it every time we put him out there. Mm-hmm. He just can't play against these guys, and he should have gone small. Whether it was with a completely small lineup or one Caleb First, the power forward he had available.
Right.
He should have gone small. He puts Edie back out there and the game goes right back down the toilet. And that's what happens when you're every night in a league like the Big Ten has been the last 2 years, having to play to your absolute best self to survive.
Because when I look at Houston's really good, all right, Gonzaga is obviously terrific. But there are games within their own conference. They don't have to spend themselves on an every-night basis to get there. There are key games where they have to, but not on an every-night basis.
Yes.
And the top teams in the Big Ten have to do that almost on an every-night basis, as my viewpoint of it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's there are nights in the American Conference, especially at home. I think on the road, just about everywhere, you better play your best.
No doubt.
Or you're flirting with a problem.
Yep.
But when Houston's at home and they're playing one of the poor teams in their league, they know they can throw out a C effort and win. Mm-hmm. And Kelvin's not going to be happy with him, but there are times when players know, I don't have it tonight. He doesn't have it tonight. We can't be great all the time. So let's just get this done, get it over with. And if he yells at us in practice tomorrow for not being right, okay, we'll live with that. But we just want to get the W and move along. And if you do that in the Big Ten, even at home, most of the time you're going to lose.
Well, that's what I always refer to as the great teaching moment, where get out there, you put together a C effort, you win the game. They can yell at you all you want the next day. But at least you're doing it from the power of, you won the game. So,
exactly.
Mike, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Hopefully we can talk a lot as the season goes along, because your perspective is always great.
Anytime for you, Steve. You bet.
Thanks, Mike.